Welcome to BFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me to encourage you this morning in the studios is Pat Hamilton.
Good morning.
Also joining us, almost a choir of encouragement, harmonizing with the best that we can sing possibly, is John Ramos.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Be encouraged this morning. Everything that God says is true.
Everything.
Which means we can know what we need to do. Let's turn to God. Let's cry out for justice and know that our God will just reboot his people, reestablish his people again with a new wind, with a new breath, with a new life. Give a shout out this morning to Debbie. I pray the Lord will bless you in your legalities at work and that you will be a light to all those who come in to your facilities today. We'll give a shout out this morning to James and Chevron. Congratulations on your promotion. Keep that oil coming, man. Keep that oil coming. Good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning. And you're listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. And joining me in the studios this morning is Pat Hamilton.
Good morning.
And also joining us is the one and only John Ramos.
Good morning.
Good morning, good morning. I want to give a shout out this morning to my wife, Donna. You know, this weekend we will be been married 24 years.
Wow.
Isn't that amazing?
Awesome.
24, and that's like half
that's
of.
That's cool.
Oh, what? My goodness.
48?
48 years, you know?
Wow.
Well, it explains why I'm having to get bigger shirts. That's a long time. That's a long time. And we're excited about, you know, being able to spend some time together this weekend. And also, I got some great news, too, that my son, Jared, and his fiance Nikki will be getting married September the 1st. Is that not exciting?
Awesome.
Isn't that neat?
There you go.
You know,
yes.
We had a wonderful, wonderful time with Amber, my daughter, and now my son, in-law Blake, and marrying them on the beach. It was beautiful, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. That's awesome.
Wasn't she a gorgeous bride?
Very beautiful.
I mean, it was amazing.
I saw the pictures. Yes, she was.
Yeah. And, you know, it's kind of like, remember I was talking to you about how beautiful your wife. Mm-hmm. Teresa is and was, and when she got married out there, remember that I was talking about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, she's so beautiful, man. I mean, it's just like I don't know how you come into her presence. You know, what I mean? You got to kind of hold your head down, you know, and kind of just let the. I mean, she's a beautiful lady.
Yeah,
I mean, she's beautiful inside and out,
and
she cooks good.
Oh,
I mean, she can even make a bagel stand up on his end and dance. I mean, she can cook. She can cook. And she taught me how to make coffee in a sock when I was in Jersey.
Oh, wow.
I mean, I was baffled, you know, when Maria was telling me about how to. She said, I'm going to make you coffee in a sock. I'm going to make you coffee in a sock. I'm like, ooh, let's just kind of delay that thing a little bit. You know, I'm thinking, whose sock and why do I want coffee out of a sock, you know? And, of course, there
not
is.
Really.
What's that?
Not really a sock, but you know.
Yeah, they call it a sock.
Yeah.
And then when I saw it, it's actually something like a, I don't know, like a funnel that looks like a made out of kind of sock material.
Mm-hmm.
And you put your coffee grains in it, you boil your water, and you hold it over your cup. And by the way, those that are preparing for, those who are prudent and preparing for the storm, get you a sock. You can make coffee with a sock. Yeah, I know. You can actually, you can boil your water. Liz, this is great wisdom here for the coffee drinkers, which is Starbucks world, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, you can, if in fact, just assume, that America didn't pay its power bill with God, you know, and God unplugged America for a little bit, and realize Starbucks is not going to work, you know, your Mr. Coffee is not going to work.
This is
true. And all you can do is look around and find out what you have, and if you look at your feet, you have some socks. No, that you get one of these little socks. You know, I guess you get them. Where do you get them from?
Well, you got to get them up here in, I guess, the New York, New Jersey area. I don't know where else they have them.
Man, I tell you, they got everything.
A lot of Spanish community. It's a lot of Spanish community. It's how they make their coffee. This is old school. It's how grandma used to make it, okay? She wanted some coffee. She didn't turn on that Mr. Coffee. She doesn't know nothing about Starbucks, okay?
Right.
She just break out the sock, put some of that Cafe Bustelo in there, make it go for you, man. You come up with some
strong. It's totally amazing, man. It's called Athletic Coffee. No, and yeah. So then you take the grains and you put it in there. You boil your water. So that means that if you can light a fire, if you can.
Yep.
Well, I guess everybody but Pastor Steve, because I remember him trying to start a fire. he's a Marine. Now, Steve's a Marine now. You got to hear this. Now, he's two tours of duty, yeah. Trained on Paris Island. And so we're out there. We're taking the young boys camping, doing the next step out back.
Right, Ura.
Yeah, yeah. And and so he brings out all of his fire starting gear, you know, and like stones.
Like
and
two sticks
and like some like cotton looking stuff or something. And so he begins the work, you know, He's just rubbing stuff and, you know, and shaking stuff and focused. I mean, he's intense, you know, Right. He's focused on this thing. And of course, we're camping, having a good time. We're watching the sun go down, come up. You know, we're just like, you know, he's like, we're going to start this fire, you know.
It's
like,
the magnifying glass and everything to try to get the rays.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he's just rubbing stuff. And we're just watching, you know. And finally, he takes a break. I think it's about maybe 8 hours into it or something. And this young 17-year-old kid walks up, dumps gas on the wood, throws a match, and walks off. And then, of course, you know, Steve's going like, it was wet! It was wet! That was so
of
funny.
Of course it was.
That was so funny. I laughed. I was with those boys. Steve and I took those boys camping at Bear Lake. And we laughed nonstop. I cooked nonstop. It's like, my goodness, I'm cooking. That's a big thing as it is. When I'm cooking, boys, they just eat nonstop. And I didn't think Steve would stop. No, seriously. And so one of the boys, a Jacob, hilarious, but he's intense, consistently nonstop, hilarious. And so here we are, you know. We're in the morning, and he's looking at me. He's so serious. He says, "I want to fix breakfast this morning." And I'm like, "Please do, yes,
yeah, really.
Thank you." And he says, "I'm gonna cook peanut butter and jelly sandwiches."
Oh gosh!
And he's looking at me, you know. And these guys, the whole time, you feel like these guys are pulling a prank. The whole weekend, you feel like you're in the middle of a prank and you're the target. You know, they're fixing to do something. You know, and he's giving me this serious look. It was a very serious look, but it's like, how do you get serious over cooking peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, right?
Mm-hmm.
But they were serious, and so he was serious, and so he starts putting it, and he's just rubbing the peanut butter on the bread, and he's just serious, just thinking about it, and he's putting jelly on the other side. He puts it together. I'm thinking, well, I'm familiar with that, you know.
Yeah.
And then we had this big flat skillet looking thing. When I camp with a gas stove, microwave, and DirecTV.
Yeah.
You know, in case the game comes on. And so, and he's sitting there. He's cooking. He lays his sandwiches down, and he's talking so seriously to me. I mean, the whole time he's talking seriously to me. And I'm thinking, oh my goodness, he's serious. He's serious, you know. And he turns it over and he says, you have to smush it like this. And I thought, oh my goodness, you know, I was just so blessed. I had a wonderful, wonderful weekend. There was one situation. Oh my goodness. I don't know. We have to talk about this at a later time. Maybe. I don't know. Well, So, you know, his mother, this particular cook's mother, you know, she calls out there and, What happened was, you got to have a good time. There's nothing like taking teenage boys camping and you're trying to talk the police out of not taking them to jail. No, don't take them, park ranger. Don't take them. For as soon as they got there, they jumped in the water to go swimming. And of course, the park ranger comes out and says, you can't swim. And you tell teenagers you can't swim in the lake. I mean, come on. I mean, that's what we went out here for, you know, just swimming and stuff. There's no signs or nothing. And so, but he was talking to us like we actually passed the sign on the way there.
Mm-hmm.
And so I calmed him down or whatever, you know, and said, you know, I'll do my best to keep these teenage boys not in the water. And he walked away with his cat. And so then in his hat, he had a real tall hat on. And so then they're in the canoes and their friend, they had a friend named John. And he is hilarious. I just, oh my goodness. He told stories about his dog. We sat around the fire. He's looking up to the stars. He's, you know, reminiscing. Or, you know, as Rabbi says, how does he say it?
Reminiscing.
Reminiscing. We're reminiscing. And just hilarious, you know. Well, what happened was they were, well, when we first got there and they got on the boats, they had canoes. And Chris and Jared, my son and his friend, Chris's son, they go out there and there's a big, huge concrete drainage thing out there in the middle of it, you know. So you get basically a platform in the middle of the lake. And so they go out there and they start getting on it. But then, and Jacob was one paddling the boat out there with them all in it.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as they set their foot on that thing, Jacob took off with the boat and left them out there in the water. And there's alligators, there's snakes, and possibly it's Bear Lake, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And, oh my goodness, it was on the whole weekend. They sought ways to get Jacob back. And it was just hilarious. But one situation was where Jared and Chris were separate than the other ones because they were trying to get the other ones back, I guess, and vice versa. And of course, Jacob was paranoid. Mm. And so his mother calls in the morning time. And this is like, you know, a state park, nice facilities, has different things, you know, bathrooms and all that. And so his mother calls, you know, and says, how's things going? I'm calling, checking. I'm sitting there cooking for him, you know, at the breakfast camp. And I said, well, everything's going great. We're having a wonderful time. And as soon as I hang up with her, I find out that when Jacob and John, you got to see John, he's just a funny dude. He's funny. And they come out of the bathroom, peeking out of the bathroom door. And Jared and Christopher had taken their clothes while they were in the shower. I'm like, oh my goodness. No, you know, when we're always going to be thrown out of the park already because they were swimming with the crocodiles. And now these boys are like, oh no, you didn't, you know, and they were roofless. Of course, you know, Jacob left them out there. So this whole battle ensued through this whole thing. And so they were kind of scared of each other that the prank was going to happen. So they kind of broke up in groups. John and Jacob get lost. This is like the country. I mean, this is country area. This is like, you don't
country,
want to get, yeah, country. And they were so scared. They were walking, they got lost. They were in some dirt road in the middle of nowhere. And they're walking down the center of the road. They're just have all these, I guess they probably watch a lot of bad movies, which you shouldn't. So look what it does to you, watch bad movies. And they're just paranoid. And so some ladies come by and say, we need a ride. And they looked in the back seat and had a whole bunch of Christmas gifts or something in the back seat. And it's all these things crossed their heads like, oh my goodness, they're going to attack us. They're going to keep us. And I was like, it was amazing. So then, you know, we can't find Jacob and John. So we started getting concerned. And so Jared and I start looking for him. And I'm thinking, this is a setup. Mm-hmm. This is a setup, you know. And Jared's got like a little penknife. I mean, it's about like a half an inch long. We're walking through the crocodile woods where there's bears and stuff.
This is at night, right?
This is dark. It's at night. And we're looking. I'm looking for Jacob's mom's son. You know what I'm trying to say? Oh, my goodness. Where is he at? You know? And so I'm starting to think. I saw a big flash back in the back of the woods somewhere. I'm thinking they are going to pop out at any moment. And finally I said, I'm thinking, boy, Jared set me up. I said, give me that pen knife. I made him stand behind me. Or the flashlight, too, because they had a little small flashlight.
Right.
Stupid. And we found out that, of course, they were all just all over the place. We had such a wonderful time out there.
Were they playing this, like, manly game of hide and seek?
Oh, yeah. Remember, they were going to play hide and go seek, and then,
Great.
Yeah, and so, well, that's not manly enough. So, you know, it's on video, so I'd like to score that video.
Oh,
and so they're, you know, what are you going to do? And they're all painted up with like mud on their faces and they got their camouflage clothes on and, you know, I don't know, sort of like Danny Edens. And so then he says, we're going to go play hide and go seek. I said, that's not a man thing. What's a man thing? He says, we're going to play what?
Seek and find.
Seek and find. We'll be right back after these messages.
Jesus said, in John 15, he says, talking of himself, right, Pat?
Mm-hmm.
He says, I am the vine, talking of himself.
Right.
You, us, believers, are the branches.
Mm-hmm.
And his father, our father, is the gardener.
Right.
And the vine just kind of grows where it wants to go. You know, it grows towards the sun. Natural vines grow towards the S-U-N. Mm-hmm. And spiritual vine and branches grow to the S-O-N.
Wow.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah, that is neat.
And so, you know, for God spoke to me about, as he called us, called me out to be able to begin to do what we're doing today. Mm-hmm. And it didn't just happen like this. And he said, very specifically, I'm going to teach you something for 3 years that I'm going to use for the next 30 years of my church.
Wow.
You know? Mm-hmm. And he confirmed that through Dutch Sheets. It was pretty cool how God had done that. Because you think, you know, when God's calling you, this might be you right now. You might be thinking, okay, I got the call. I'm ready to go. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, many are called, but few are chosen. You have to understand that there's a process of learning and growing that you need to understand. What does that mean? Mm-hmm. You know, when he said, get thee up and go to Abram, that meant 25 years, right?
Right.
Well, you need to get rightly related. You need to get connected to what God is doing. And we tried. So once the 3 years was up, it was amazing. Just right in time, God just showed up in a powerful way. He just nailed it. He said, it's finished. It's time to do it. It was just really amazing. Mm-hmm. And we started the 30-year journey. Mm-hmm. And in that, how can we explain this in a short period of time, you know, a condensed period of time to help people get perspective.
Right.
Of what Vine Fellowship Network's about, and it just integrates with the Word of God. It was just doing what God says, mm-hmm. you know. And so, Vine, which is Jesus is the vine, mm-hmm. fellowship is what the church does, and network, we all stay together and stay rightly related, which is you know, Psalms 133, you know, right. and John 17:23. And so, what came of that was called, we call it the Vine Seminar, the mm-hmm. Vine Seminar, Vine Seminars, which is. There's several different seminars now that's evolved in, but knowing this, that the main seminar that started it was trying to explain mm-hmm. how do you move from a flower pot to a vine? How do you move out of the fences and the confinement of men's tradition rightly, not wrongly,
right.
and follow God in the Great Commission? And God walked us through a way to do that. Mm-hmm. And he confirmed it every step of the way. We share that. We share that at the Vine Seminars. You can find out more at vineseminars.org. You can sign up for one in your city. Just fill it out. Let them know that you are interested in it, and we'll make it available to you. It's vineseminars.org. You know, quite often, you know, we're looking and we're searching. We're trying to find out, you know, maybe this will actually make me feel better. Maybe this job will fix me. Maybe this relationship will fix me. Maybe money will fix me. Maybe education will fix me. Maybe medication will fix me. I don't know what it is, but something we're always trying to, we don't consciously say, hey, I need a fix. We don't consciously say I have a hole in my heart and I'm trying to fill it. But the truth is, if we really studied it, if we really thought it through, the truth is, that we have a hole in our heart and we're trying to fill it and nothing's working. And I'm going to tell you something, that journey that you went on, that you went to relationship after relationship, you went to job after job, you went after money, you went after fame, whatever it is. And it leaves you not only dry, but it leaves you shameful. It leaves you like, I'm not worth anything now. But let me tell you something, that was nothing but a distraction. That our God, through his son, Jesus Christ, can actually cleanse you from all that. Don't worry about it. It's only religious people who will tell you that God won't accept you. That's like the Pharisees. That's the whole reason why Jesus came for us. You know, you've got to meet God through his son, Jesus Christ. There's nothing more powerful. As a matter of fact, we shared a few of our stories at meetmyfather.org. We've shared a couple of them just to find out so you can get the different perspectives of how, you know, the people that God saves. You know, Paul said this. He said, the reason why God saved me is because I was the chiefest of sinners, and by looking at me, you can see how big his grace is. There's enough grace for you. You've got to meet my Father. Go to meetmyfather.org. Meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him. As a matter of fact, I want to say, too, to those that are on the our Apple applications out there, make sure you go to iTunes and, you know, write a review. There's people, you know, they're going to be coming and they're looking. And they're trying to find encouraging words and, you know, what they can, you know, I want something to listen to. I want mm-hmm. something to view that's going to encourage me during these times. And of course, we're getting feedback from all of, a lot of our listeners and viewers that, and new people will be coming from around the world. You know, we have all the way from Okinawa to Texas and throughout and Oregon, and Africa, and it's all around the world, in America. And so they'll read your review. So go to iTunes, you know, type in VFN TV, and you'll find the application there. You can download it. But also, once you listen for a while, once you watch, then say, you know what, I'm going to write a review. And so other people, it's a way for you to help win people to the Lord, to encourage them to tune in to VFN Radio.
Yeah, there was some sort of basketball tournament that was going on in Brooklyn. And after the basketball tournament.
Is it a tournament?
Are you trying to say I'm talking different?
No, I just, tournament. Go ahead. I'm sorry. You were talking about a tournament?
A tournament. But anyway, there was this basketball game.
Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me in the studios is Pat Hamilton and John Ramos. It's the lip movement, though. If you
can
see,
it's a basketball game, okay?
Yeah, basketball game. Right. Isn't it? Well, yeah, it is. It is. I was going to talk about all the different games that are played with, some form of ball, football, basketball, volleyball. Mm-hmm. It's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, there's a lot of them.
Jeez. And, you know, here we are. We're in the first hour of VFN Radio. We want to encourage you. And if you haven't taken time to go spend time with young people, you know, and they'll remind you that you can actually live without thinking about anything important.
Nothing at all.
I mean, it was amazing, man. It was amazing, the camping trip that he has. Like, you made it this long, you didn't even know. You know, you don't want to stay there in that place, but you want to visit that place from time to time. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, you know, in case you missed it, you know, yesterday, it'll be in the highlights. It's definitely the VFN Torch. That if you've ever been on a trust fall before, you know, you can actually find out about a trust fall. Because, you know, John, you didn't get a chance to share. I realized I was listening to VFN Radio yesterday after we wrapped up, and you didn't get a chance to share about your experience that much, you know, because I was having so much fun sharing.
You really were.
Yeah. So what happened?
Oh, my goodness. Well, as you know, and you might have heard yesterday, you know, we've been years reaching out to fatherless sons and daughters and through the Next Step Father and Son Camping Trip, which has now been known as the Next Step Outback. Was out there doing some trust events, you know, teaching this group, this nice strong group, I thought, to do this trust fall. And this is what a chance.
What kind of trust
you're
talking? Are you talking about trust like?
Say that again.
Like trust events, like.
Yes, it's like. Those what are they called, high ropes?
Oh yeah, corporate challenges and all that. Yeah, you got to learn to trust people you work with.
Low ropes.
Right.
And so we had one of those events out there, and the idea was so we can learn that we can begin to start trusting each other. And one of the things that the parents had to do was to be able to fall in the arms of their children. And so you could imagine.
Wait a minute. The same one that can't remember to take the trash out?
Right.
Even though they're supposed to do it every single day. You know, take the dog out. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Even when they leave reminders everywhere, still, you know.
The one that can't remember to brush their teeth. You know, you're going to hold your hands this way.
Put on deodorant.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
Oh, no bath again today. Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Right.
3 days straight. All right. And they smile back at you.
Yeah.
Anyway, so yes, they're supposed to fall into the arms of their teenage child at this event at the trust fall. And so the trust fall is basically set up about 4 feet high. Now, it doesn't seem too high, but when you're standing up on this 4 foot platform, Pat, and your back is towards this entire group, and you have to fall like a plank, like a dead man. You got to go, you know, bam, you know. Mm-hmm. It could be a little, you know, nerve-wracking. It was amazing to see how the parents, some of the parents were shaking in their boots, literally shaking in their boots. But so I give this instruction. I'm trying to, you know, get everyone to, they're looking at each other like, there's no way I'm falling into this person's arms. I said, no, you can do this. You can do this. This is going to be good. We can trust each other. We can trust God. You know, God has your back. You just got to let go and let God. And we need to start, you know, trusting each other as well. And if this is what it's all about, relationship. And so I'm showing them the technique. You got to put your hands in between each other. You got to make sure that you put one leg forward, one leg back. You know, I thought I was doing a good job. Okay. I mean, I was eye contact. I was speaking to everyone. They looked at me. They said, yep, we got it. Mm-hmm. You know, thumbs up. This is good.
Mm-hmm.
And so once I felt like I thought they had it, okay,
right.
I ventured up this 4-foot platform and I said, all right, I turned around. I said, you got me now, right? Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, we got you. We got you. So I have my arms, you know, folded like Greg said yesterday, like in a casket. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to do like, you know, a wimpy fallback. I'm not going to stick my behind
you
out, you know,
for it, huh?
And lean back a little bit. You know, some people poke their behind out. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
No, I'm going to plank it out. I'm gonna,
that's right. That's not a safety position.
Yeah.
When you do something like that.
Mm-mm.
Yeah. You're just kind of, you know, feeling it out and trying to put your, you know, behind out. You know,
right. Mm-hmm.
So I'm planking. I'm doing the whole dead man thing. You know, I'm a man of faith here because, you know, right. I thought I taught the lesson well.
Mm-hmm.
Well, lo and behold, I lean back and dude, they dropped me. I mean, they dropped me.
Oh, bounce. Now, can you say
did they
bounce?
Slow you down at all?
Well,
it was,
I mean,
can you say bounce? I mean, it's like boom, 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 boom.
You know?
Right.
I heard a report that someone
they
said
couldn't
I
get out. They couldn't
down.
Get out of the way fast enough. I said they broke your fall because they were running back.
Right, right.
I was actually astonished as I laid there, and thank God God spared me. I didn't break anything, but
luckily we had a lot of padding.
Yeah, this is true.
I'm thinking about the wheelbarrow thing. Do you remember the wheelbarrow thing in Spring Lake? We had the Knicks about
oh,
that. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Do you remember speaking of roly-poly and all that, trying to do the wheelbarrow thing with us rather large
oh, my God.
Species?
Wow, that sounds terrible.
It's because of all that Frito-Lay, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, right.
We've been eating too many chips. We got to quit eating so much chips. But hey, buy Frito-Lay today.
We like
Fritos. We like. I got good friends of Frito.
Oh, but they sure make you lay. Oh. So anyway, they broke my fall. My pride was a little hurt there, but I got back up. Probably needed to. And I said, okay, let's do it one more time. You know, I gave another instruction, Pat, and I went out there and did it again.
Mm-hmm.
And they caught me.
Wow.
They caught me. But I tell you, if you've never done anything like that before, It's really a wonder. You never know what's inside of you until you actually have the opportunity to be challenged. You never know what fears or what limitations. You know, it's always, you know, I'm always amazed if you play these sporting events, those guys that were always, you know, all riled up in the locker room and, you mm-hmm. know, they're screaming, ah, we're going to get them. We're going to, you know, and they're banging it. You play football before they're smashing their heads in the locker room. And after the first quarter now, and you're getting all tore up on that field, you're looking at them, you say, hey, guys, Where's the fireman? What's happening?
Yeah, right.
We're being trashed out there. And sometimes, you know, life can be like that. You know, you're going through a rough situation and, you know, it's all cool to be all full of faith. But when you face your challenge, when it's time to trust God, when it's time to lean back and not a wimpy, you know, stick your behind out, but you're saying, you know what, I'm going to trust God with everything I have, you'll be surprised what may or may not surface. And I'll tell you, we can trust God. He's faithful. He's good. You know, he even knows that the hairs on our head, they're all numbered by him. And if he takes care of a little sparrow, how much more will God be able to take care of you today?
You know, we're known, John, by not by our Bibles in our hands. We're not known by our buildings or lack thereof. We're not known by how many chapters in the Word of God we read today. We're known by our love we have for each other.
That's right.
And, by the way, love always trusts.
Mm-hmm.
And if we don't deal with the trust issues, I mean, a paranoid schizophrenic church is not going to be one that's known that we're God's disciples.
So
our
true.
Identification card to the world is that we love God, God loves us, and they see the love of God, and they want the love of God in their life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but love always trusts. And so if you're walking around, you know, having trust issues, like John's saying, you know, think about them. You don't have to go in the wilderness. You don't have to build in this huge, you know, platforms, and you don't have to get people around. Just stand in your living room, cross your arms. I mean, look it up a little bit. You know, I'm not going to tell you how to do it, you know. Check with your doctor before you practice.
Yeah, right.
That, you know, disclaimer.
Right. This will kill you.
Make sure the floor is really good and hard, so if you hit it, you would know it. And then, the family members, have them stand behind you, mm-hmm. and just fall with your heels on the ground, so you're not falling, you know, 4 feet, and just stay stiff as a board, and fall into their arms, and you'll see yourself wanting to pull your arms from in front of you and catch yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, you know, at what point am I going to trust these people?
Mm-hmm.
Called family.
Yeah.
Called believers. Mm-hmm. You know, and every pastor should be willing, every shepherd should be willing to stand stiff as a board,
mm-hmm.
cross his arms or her arms, and fall back into the arms of the sheep, the believers that they're
right.
teaching, because that's love, because love always trusts. Right?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
You know, love always trusts. And so I encourage you, it's a good way to check to see, because you can assume, you know, everything's there. But when you start falling backwards, you know, you start realizing, I keep on trying to catch myself because I don't believe they're going to catch me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right.
You know, and I'll tell you this, if you're in some big, huge crowd gathering, you know, and you're waiting for somebody to come and catch you, they probably don't know you, so you're going to hit the ground really hard.
Yeah. You may not want to try that experiment there, okay?
Yeah, so, being a... And you can build a small group within the context of that crowd and start building relationships and start working on your trust issues. Mm-hmm. And then with those people that you build a relationship with, even though y'all still meet in a larger gathering, there's some people there that's got you back, and you got mm-hmm. their back, and y'all love God and love each other. And that's arms of people that you can fall in, because times come, hard times come, seasons come. Sometimes we get jobs, sometimes we lose jobs. Sometimes economy's up, sometimes it's down. Where we're going right now, the most powerful thing that you can do as a prudent person, how you can prepare for what's going to happen, is start building trustful relationships with people around you. This stuff about hanging out and acting like you friended each other on Facebook, they're for your friends. You can't fall back in the hands of 1,000 likes.
No.
You know, you're going to have to be somebody that knows you.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus spent that time, you know, with 12.
Mm-hmm.
He spent that time with 12, and understanding that and knowing that that is a good way you can prepare, you know, for what is coming to the earth, what's coming to America. Mm-hmm. And what you're really doing is just going back to the original tent of the church and just having relationships and practicing on loving other people and the Beatitudes. You know, you can't do unto others unless you're around somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And so you come around. God loves us to love his people.
Right.
He says, as a matter of fact, he says that he's not unjust. He won't even forget that. He'll mm-hmm. remember it forever. He says, I'm not unjust. I will not forget the love you have shown me, which means this is how we love God.
Right.
When you help my people mm-hmm. and continue to help them.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So really, when we practice and help people build their trust with each other, they're believers. I mean, you can't trust the world, obviously, but believers, then God's loving that. As mm-hmm. a matter of fact, he's filling the love. He's filling the love. Isn't that something?
Yeah.
So, John, tell us about Phelps. Tell us what's going on with the Olympics.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I know that Phelps here recently was decorated as the most medal winner of all time. So I know he's really feeling that. This is the Olympic swimmer. And I just saw an interview where he was just so excited and so pumped up. But I really want to share about, and that's a great accomplishment. It hasn't been done in I don't know how many years.
What did he do? What's the accomplishment?
Well, he won the most medals.
Yeah, most medals
of any Olympian ever.
How many did he win?
You know, I don't have.
We got a total of 81 now. There's 81.
U.S. The entire
U.S.
team.
Total is one. Now I believe he's won. We need to verify that. Go ahead, John.
Well, I don't know how many exactly he's won all time, but I know that he is the all time medal winner. But I wanted to share with you this morning about Allison Felix. She's a sprinter who just won the 200-meter final. She's got gold in the Olympics. she's an American, but most of all, what's cool is that she is a child and a believer of God. You know, in 2008 in Beijing, she actually lost this race. She didn't place, and she really wanted to come back and do something big in the Olympics in London this year. And so she did phenomenally well, and she won. But her testimony is that her parents, her father taught in a Bible college, and her parents grew up. She grew up in a strong Christian home, she says, and that they were very involved. And she loves the Lord and wants to do everything for his glory. In fact, one of her quotes is, "I feel so blessed that God has given me the talent of running, and my running is an amazing gift from God, and I want to use it to the best of my ability to glorify him." And so this is so cool. A lot of times, you know, the God story behind the story never comes out. You never kind of sometimes hear it in the media. We learned about that through R.A. Dickey, that he says all in the New York Mets pitcher. You know, I said, oftentimes I glorify God in these interviews, but oftentimes they just edit that part out of my interview. And so it's so encouraging to see, you know, a believer who's
about it, you know, that what they do is they want to hear about the fruit of having a relationship with God, but they don't want to hear about the relationship with God that brought the fruit about in their life.
Hello. Mm-hmm. Hello.
They don't understand you can't have the fruit without the relationship.
And don't say, I wouldn't be here without him.
Yeah, no doubt.
You understand? This is non-existent without him.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You know?
You notice how many, you know, athletes are in some way making some sort of gesture acknowledging God mm-hmm. in what they're doing. It's just really neat to see that. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah. It's 22. He's won 22. Phelps has won 22. Michael Phelps.
Wow.
22 medals. He is the most decorated Olympian of all times.
Wow.
Of all times. Isn't that amazing?
That is something.
Yeah.
That's something.
Pretty cool.
Yeah.
Pretty cool.
You know, and he had a rough 4 years. You think that then the transition, they build you up to tear you down, by the way. If you like being built up, you better be prepared to be torn down. Mm. It's better just to stay humble and just, you know, whatever in regards to whatever God wants to allow. But they built him up as a young man, and they immediately expected him to be some walk on water or something. And after he won all those medals before in China, and he made it. He came through that battle. You know, his character got stronger. You know, he came back in. He could have just quit. Mm-hmm. He's making $7 million a year in endorsements. So it's not like it's not like he, you know, was broke. But he still came back and proved himself again to be the number one medal decorated Olympian in the history mm-hmm. of the Olympics. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, pretty cool.
Totally amazing. So I guess his endorsements will go up more than $7 million now.
Probably so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Most definitely. You know, we're going to look at the top three stories in a moment after we talk about the wisdom moment for today. You know, every day we try to share the wisdom from Proverbs. We got to pull those interviews out. We have. You got to hear this guy. I mean, he's like the Forrest Gump of experiences.
Oh, that was good.
Yeah. I mean, but, you know, he's lived off of Proverbs. You know, he's memorized the Proverbs. You know, he reads 5 Psalms a day. He says that God is his CEO for his corporation. You know, most people say, not most people, but what you hear quite often is God is my co-pilot.
Right.
You know, he's my vice president. And he says, and he operates by that, you know, God is my CEO. I serve him. And so, therefore, I use his wisdom to run my businesses. He has a medical business. You know, God impresses on him where to invest. Banks want him to serve on their board because he has the ability to look at financials and just know this is a good thing or it's a negative thing.
Yeah, God connects him with presidents.
Oh yeah, I mean presidents. He's flown over weapons to Iraq, you know, aircraft to Jordan or something, and
Israel too.
Yeah, you're looking at him and the bullet goes right through him but doesn't scar him, goes into his seat. It's, you know what I'm saying?
It's like,
you know, trust but verify. You know, but he actually was there when President George W. Bush, Governor Bush then, was just elected president. He just happened to be there at that one moment, and they asked him in the governor's mansion of Texas to be able to anoint him and pray for him, lay hands on him. And in either way, this man operates off what we're sharing with you, the wisdom of God. He just looks at how God says to do it. For example, if he serves on a bank board, if they wanted to be on a bank board, he says you cannot charge excessive usury fees. You cannot charge high interest rates. You cannot, because one of the big profit lines in the banking system in America is on the poor, the ones that are trying to make ends meet, and they're bouncing checks, and they charge a fee, some sort of insufficient fee, and that's probably a largest profit line, he was saying, at that time on banks. And that's why they give you free checking, because they'll make more money off the individual who struggles financially than they will the millionaire.
Yeah.
Because you'll be writing checks left and right to pay them $35 just for the fact of them giving you a free checking account. And which is excessive usury, and Proverbs says don't do that. And so if he serves on the board, he says, this cannot be the main profit margin for the bank if I'm going to serve on it. You have to lower that down and be more merciful and that type of thing, and God blesses the bank.
Yeah.
And so we're not just, you know, talking about, hey, this is a good idea. This is how you can be blessed by, going after God's wisdom. And so there's 31 chapters in Proverbs. There's 30 to 31 days in a month, except for, February. And so you can, if it's the ninth of the month, look at the ninth chapter of Proverbs and just listen to it, really, because you want to do your other abiding time where you're reading, other words. But this wisdom part, just let it wash over you and grab something from it. And today, I grab from this wisdom moment today, Proverbs chapter 9, because it's the ninth of the month, verse 10. And this is so important, because if you don't start, the first grade, you're not going to be in the 10th grade. You know what I'm saying? If you don't begin, you're never going to arrive. I mean, at some point, you got to start. And there's a starting point with wisdom that prior to the starting point, there is no wisdom. And this is what he says in Proverbs 9:10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning. It's the starting point. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. It's so powerful. It's like, hey, that's the first grade. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, right.
If we're looking in God's Word, just gathering knowledge, and we don't have a fear of the Lord, then it's going to be fruitless. It won't be fruitless. It'll be fruitless in the things of God, but it won't be fruitless in the things of disaster.
Right.
Because you'll be moving, thinking you're doing what God is telling you to do, but you did not have a fear of the Lord when you were applying the principles of God. And so the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It's the very beginning of it. And so, which means that if you have not yet been given this gift called the fear of the Lord, ask God for it. You know, we pray in the prayer and fasting community, the VFN prayer and fasting community, a prayer that says, Lord, strike our heart with a lightning that from your throne room with the fear of God, with a holy dread, not a dread of negative sense, but the fact is like he's God. The awe of God. The awe of God. I think about, in Streams Ministries, where John Paul Jackson, just recently stated that there was a time that he celebrated position and title and that type of thing, but now he's just amazed only at the awe and the awesomeness of God. And that's a man who's found wisdom.
Right.
That's a man who's found wisdom. You got Reverend Billy Graham says, I wish I would have spent more time in prayer and praise to God. And it's a man who realizes, oh my goodness, that's one of the most important things.
Right.
He wasn't going to forego his ministry. I mean, you can see that whole interview on the VFN Torch, but that spending time with God. If we don't spend time with Him, there is no fear, healthy, reverential fear of God. And so, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of Him, the Holy One, is understanding. So, the fear of the Lord is a gift from God. It is the first grade. It's the beginning of wisdom. That means if a man or a woman has no fear of God, they have no wisdom at all. No wisdom. I mean, they may have a lot of knowledge, maybe, but no wisdom at all. They have not even begun to know wisdom. Isn't that wild?
Wow.
Confucius says, it's like, what? What? If you had the knowledge of God, you would not have used that particular quote.
Yeah.
So the fear of the Lord is, and first of all, when you think about it, It's you know, if you had a healthy relationship with your father and your parents, you know, and you knew what their expectations were of you, and you didn't meet those expectations, and he was coming home or she was coming home from work or something of that nature, it crossed your mind that this parent who loves you dearly was going to bring it to your attention that you didn't do this particular thing or that. If it wasn't an unhealthy relationship, you know, we're not talking about abuse or nothing, but just there was this like there's something in your heart that you knew you wanted to please your parents, and there's something in your parents' heart that wanted to train you in the ways you should go, and they had expectations of you. And when those two things contradict, if there's a right relationship with that parent, you know, you have a fear of that parent coming home, you know, and you want to be able to quickly as you can, you know, do what you didn't do, you know, and make it right, you know, send a peace treaty before they come. Now they have texting. We didn't have texting, so you can text and like, say, hey, I'm sorry. Send a text, you know, like Jacob sent gifts to Esau. And so, but that's healthy. It's healthy today. I mean, there is no fear of anything.
No.
I mean, no. I was talking to Judge Geeker. He was a circuit judge, and he's retired now, and he was having lunch, and I was having lunch, so we just, you know, sat together and talked, and, you know, I was in law enforcement for quite a few years, and I appeared before his bench with some of the people that I took to the hotel, and, you
hotel,
know,
huh?
Yeah, the, well, you know, the gray skull, they called it, prison, jail, and you know, in the past, you know, there was a fear, there was a fear of consequences, there was a fear of what might happen to you, and you didn't want the death penalty, you didn't want to be in prison for 10 years, you didn't want, you know, this a record where you couldn't get a job anymore, and even Rick Joyner said, you know, in the 50s, people who didn't even know God feared God. Right. They didn't even know him, but feared him. They were very respectful and honoring of God's name. Now today, people who say they know him have no fear of him, as if he's not to be feared. I'm not talking about terrified, but just like your parent that loves you dearly, that's feeding you, that's probably coming back from work to be able to put food in your belly at that age, you know, and to give you shelter and a home. That's what God does for us. And then we just shake our fist in his face. And so the first thing about the fear of the Lord is awareness of the awesomeness of God. Hebrews 11:6 tells us you first have to believe that God, you know that God exists and he rewards those who diligently seek him. Mm-hmm. You first have to be aware of him. If you're not aware of him, or if you're only aware of him one time a week, you know what I'm saying? That's not a fear of God. That's a religious experience.
Right. Or when you want some.
Or when you want something. Or you're in trouble. And so the first part of the fear of the Lord, we're talking about the beginning, this walk of wisdom, is to be aware of him. You know, John's Acts chapter 17 says, you know, God designed the very places that we live. He picked our address, the very season that we would live in, and he did this so that we might reach out and touch him, though he's not far from us. A fear of the Lord is an awareness that God is always there. Just because somebody says, well, he's not here, it doesn't mean he's not there. It's just you're not acknowledging him being there. So the fear of the Lord, the beginning of that is to be aware that he's here.
Right.
You know, and secondly, is that you're a disciple of the Lord, somebody who fears the Lord. When Jesus says, you know, if you follow my teachings, you're really my disciple, then you know the truth and the truth will set you free. When he tells his disciples, go make disciples of the nations, then we have to understand what the teachings of Jesus are and apply them in our life. A fear of the Lord is somebody who is becoming a disciple of Jesus Christ, knowing him as Lord all the way to the Great Commission. We're talking about the fear of the Lord, the beginning of wisdom, because you can't just grab wisdom without being aware of God. There's no such thing as wisdom without being a disciple of Jesus, and you're not going to apply it properly. And finally, you know, understanding that not only are there rewards for diligently seeking God, but there's consequences for not walking in his ways. The same way it was when your parent was coming.
That's right.
You know, you see people when a police officer drives down the road and somebody reaches over and grabs their seatbelt, you know, because it reminds them this is a right thing to do for my safety. Mm-hmm. So the presence of that authority, you know, caused them to put their seatbelt on. But somebody else, they see the police officer and it causes them to hide their drugs. You know,
yeah.
Totally two different viewpoints.
Right.
You know, and one of them was trying to get away with something, and the other one, it reminded them of what was right.
Mm-hmm.
Two different viewpoints. And so not only is wisdom understanding that, God rewards us for diligently seeking him, but there's consequences for not seeking him, for not walking in his ways, for not being his disciple. And the message that's been preached is you don't have to be his disciple. You just got to say a prayer. Mm. As long as you say Jesus' name somewhere. Mm. You know, and the word of God says, you know, you can cry out to the Lord and you can be saved, but it's not crying tears and sadness because you got caught with something. You're crying out because you said, I want you, Jesus. I want you to be the Lord of my life. It's a whole throwing yourself into the mercies and the arms of God when you do that.
Mm-hmm.
These same things, though, these consequences happen to the ignorant. Those are ignorant of God's ways and do not seek to know him. But they just don't have a clue that God's allowing those things to happen. They don't realize that God's involved in the affairs of men. It's mm-hmm. not that these things are not happening.
Exactly.
They just come up with some theories like it's because of the, you know, the El Nino, you know, it's because of, you know, we always thought that fault line was a little short, you know, we always thought, you know, and bad things happen to good people. I'm not saying mm-hmm. that. I mean, and to tell you the truth, the shocker really should be that how come worse things don't happen to these evil folk?
Yeah,
you know, right. God is so merciful, right?
Exactly.
Instead of being caught up in thinking, you know, how come bad things happen to good people? I'm going to look at Jesus. Couldn't be any better than that,
mm-hmm.
you know. But my question is, how can evil exist for so long? And God's mercy is so, it's just amazing how it
amazing.
Is. Yeah. And then finally, the knowledge about God, the Holy One, is it's understanding. That's how we get understanding. We get understanding by knowing more about God. Religion has turned the learning things about God into an option. It's turned to an option. And something that one may or may not do.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Something that if a person is serious, serious about whether they're gonna go after God and not get knowledge or not, they go, hey, once a week I'm gonna talk about God. I'm gonna go where I gather it and I'm gonna talk about God. But a wise man, a wise woman soaks in the knowledge of God and lives in his understanding.
Sure. Daily.
Daily. And not religiously, but daily. You know, you want to know how things work. You know, and right now, if you go into the Word of God and you study and you pray, you're going to find out that, you know, you'll be able to understand the signs of the times and what's happening in the season that you're in.
Mm-hmm.
And it's right. not necessarily a good thing, but you'll find out the answer is God's people turn. Wisdom would tell you, you just got to begin to preach the gospel, the clear, simple, direct gospel, and you'll realize when Jesus did that, he had a whole religious crew was the ones that was going to fight him. Mm-hmm. Anytime God begins to correct us and bring us back on track again, I mean, the ones you're going to probably fight with the most or is going to try to mm-hmm. cause a lot of difficulty are going to be the people that have to acknowledge, you know, we've been walking in traditions and philosophies and not God's ways.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And you buckle up, you know, that's going to happen. Right. And, but understand this, that by having wisdom, and when you have a fear of the Lord and understanding this, that you have your whole journey in wisdom begins.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to begin to pray. Just ask God for a fear of the Lord. Not that you're terrified, but the same way you would about a healthy relationship with you and your father, you know, you and a father figure, you and your mother, you mm-hmm. know, or a mother figure, and understanding that you need, and if you don't, we don't have a fear, you know, of God. You know, men will, you know, you serve what you fear. John Bevere said this in his book, mm-hmm. The Fear of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
He says, you serve what you fear. If you fear man, you serve man.
Mm-hmm.
If you fear God, you serve God.
That's right.
Yeah.
If you fear man, you don't serve God because you serve what you fear. Yeah. See, until you have a fear of God, you're not serving God.
Mm.
That's right.
A fear of God causes you to, everything you do, you're not perfect, you're making tons of mistakes, but there's grace and the mercy for that, but you're aware of it the way the kid was aware of it when his father was coming home and he didn't do something right. He's mm-hmm. immediately wanting to make it right.
You're doing it in view that his eyes are upon you. He's
right.
he's present.
Right. And right now we need wisdom, and the way that wisdom will happen, church, is the fact that we say, God, we need a fear of the Lord in our hearts. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We need a reverential fear of the Lord in our hearts and begin to ask God for it.
Mm-hmm.
And know that it's not a negative thing. It's the beginning of wisdom. Today's wisdom, Proverbs 9, wisdom moment, Proverbs 9, 10, the fear of the Lord, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. We'll be right back.
I'm so excited to have Steve Kalaszewski with us on the VFM radio today. I'm glad to have you here.
I'm glad to be here.
And there's people out there right now that I know you're brilliant now. I mean, because you're so educated. I mean, you just graduated from University of West Florida. You've graduated from the Vine Fellowship Network University. I mean, you're about to go plant a church. You've already did church work in Florida, but you're going to go to Pittsburgh. I mean, you're just, you know, walking on water now. But imagine if you would.
God. Thank you, Jesus.
There's somebody out there listening right now, VFN Radio, that they slightly felt like, you know, I had a call, but immediately they looked at themselves and they looked at their work at this even come to pass. And, you know, they started doubting themselves. Talk to that person right now about how VFNU could help them out.
Wow. If you really feel that God's just really speaking to you or just speaking in your heart, VFNU is the resource that you need, because I totally relate to you, because when God found me, I had gone through the laundry list of everything that the world offered. And I knew that as soon as the message of Jesus Christ was shared to me, I knew that's exactly what I wanted. And God just began to just take me on a journey of just revealing himself to me. And it, no matter what he revealed himself, no matter what he revealed to me, it just made me more hungry. It just gave me a greater desire. And when God began to speak to me about VFNU, I was like, I have no idea what that is, but I know I want it. And if it has anything to do with God, sign me up. And in that, it was just like, each day was overwhelming, because it was like, oh my goodness, I'm like, wow, like this is, but it was overwhelming in a good way. And it's just so God. Right. God gives you the tools. He gives you just so many revelations, just so many levels of his word that are just, he's just so good. And VFNU is just, I mean, I still have all my notes, everything. Oh, yeah. I look back on it. And even in that, it's encouraging when I look back on it. And it's like, I remember, I think I was talking about it with you right after I graduated. And it was like looking back over an old photo album of all the revelations. It's just like, oh, I remember this one. I remember this one. Oh yeah, I remember when God spoke to me in my abiding time about this. And it was just,
isn't it amazing? You can gather all the information that you want to, but there's nothing like the revelation. It's so empowering. And that's what VFNU is about.
Yeah,
you know, it was revealed from God.
Yeah,
you know, it's not like, you know, you might be thinking like, I got to go take my English class, I got to take my algebra class. You know, it's just the revelation of God, and it's anointed, you know. And so you walk into it probably thinking, you know, well, I got to get this information so I can, you know, get to the point where I could minister, maybe shepherd God's people or whatever. And you walk in, the first thing you go is like, whoa, right? Right?
Yeah.
And then you finish that while, right? And then you go, the next thing you go like, whoa, you know, it's just, he's so awesome, isn't he?
No matter how much God you have, there's more.
There really is. And if you want to find out more, you possibly interested in, you feel a call on your life, you want to know more about, getting into leadership, and maybe you want to feel like you're called to be a pastor and you want to be trained, just come out to, go to VFNU.org. That's VFNU.org, and you can find out more.
Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me in the studios for the last minute of today's broadcast, first hour, is Pat Hamilton and John Ramos. Make sure you join us in the second hour, the extra hour today. We're going to be talking about, you know, the Muslim Brotherhood in the West. You know, they have a strategy to bring a caliphate to the world, and America's part of that plan. Also, it's happening right now in the United Kingdom. We're going to talk about that with John and Pat. So make sure you join us. God bless you. We had a wonderful time in our first hour. Don't forget, if you're going away, you can find out more highlights on your VFN TV app 2.0 in your iTunes store or your Google Play. Also, you can find it at VFNTV.com. Have a blessed day. And for those that join us in a few moments for the extra hour, come on along. We'll see you in a few.